I shrugged. I don't know. That's Bob's shed. I never go in there. Why not? Because it's his. So you have no idea what's in your husband's shed. No, we need to find out. He keeps it locked, I said. I don't have a key. Got a crowbar? No, Bob keeps all his things in the shed. I don't feel right about going into it. Because, you know, it's his shed. A man needs a little privacy. Those your words are Bob's. What do you mean? Oh, nothing. Just thinking out loud. We need to get into that shed. If there are any clues to Bob's whereabouts around here, they'll be in that shed. He looked across the road at Cookie's house. Who lives over there? My sister. Take her van back and borrow something for me to get that lock off with. I took Cookie's van across the road and parked it in front of her house, then went inside where I found the kids in the living room doing their usual. Kaylee was on her phone and Jetty was on the computer. Cookie was watching television. Any news? She asked as soon as she saw me. I shook my head and returned her phone to her. Sheriff's over at the house right now looking for clues for something. He wants in Bob's shed. Oh my, Cookie said. She knew how Bob was about his shed. Anyway, can I borrow Thomas Jeffrey's crowbar? Anything you need, she said. It's in the barn. I went to the barn and got a crowbar, and then I carried it back over to Daniel Ransom, who was standing in front of the shed staring at the locks Bob had placed on it over the past 18 years. Why so many locks? I shrugged. Bob wanted to discourage intruders. He lifted his finger in the air and counted out loud. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Did you realize your husband had 10 locks on his outbuilding? Yes, I said. But don't waste your time on those locks. That's not even the real door. He looked at me like a goat had butted him. Eyes all surprised, mouth dropped open. What? I sighed. Bob nailed a fake door on the front of the shed. The real entrance is on the side over here, hidden by all these bushes. If you look close, you can see where the grass is kind of brown because he gets off his bike every day, about where you're standing, and rolls it around the side of the shed and inside through the side door. I started around to the side of the building. Come on, I'll show you. We pushed our way through the tangle of bushes Bob had planted along the east side of his shed the summer we had gotten married, and there was the true entrance, a small homemade door, completely hidden from view because of the bushes. This door only has one lock, I said. I handed him the crowbar. He went to prying at Bob's lock. Then the screws that held the lock base gave way. A screeching sound made him drop the crowbar. Must be his alarm, I hollered. You could have warned me, he shouted. He picked up the crowbar and tore the lock the rest of the way off. When the door swung open, he picked up the weird little box that Bob had attached to his lock and yanked the wires off. It was some sort of home-rigged burglar alarm. I was ashamed that I had not seen the inside of Bob's shed in years. I had no idea what all he had in there. Good Lord, the sheriff said. What on earth is all of this stuff? Bob's in a militia, I said. It's like his hobby. He doesn't hurt anybody. He thinks there's going to be a government takeover. The sheriff walked around for the longest time, looking at all the stuff. There were radios, machines for making bullets, the camouflage amphibious all-terrain vehicle, all kinds of guns, knives, lead-lined boxes, and hundreds of magazines that dealt with guns, patriot warfare, survivalist tactics, apocalyptic literature, and so forth. Does he have a concealed carry permit for all these weapons? The sheriff asked. I shrugged. I guess so. He whipped out his phone and called somebody. My mind went numb. He was talking about having a background check run on me and on Bob. He said something about receiving stolen goods. He hung up. Bob's not a criminal, I said. He's never done anything wrong. He doesn't trust the government. He's also missing, the sheriff said, and my guess is that Bob's disappearance is connected in some way to this hobby, as you call it. Who'd he buy all this crap from, anyway? I shrugged. I don't know. Some guy, Morgan, maybe. Morgan who? I stared at the floor. I didn't know Morgan's last name. Maybe Morgan was his last name. You think he's been kidnapped? I asked. Daniel Ransom shook his head. He was irked. He loathed Bob, and he had never met him. What gave him that right? I want to see in the trailer if you'll let me without a warrant, he said. I backed away from him. I have nothing to hide. Bob and I are good citizens. We pay our bills, and we keep to ourselves. We don't owe anybody a dime, unless you count the electric bill. He grunted. Good citizens don't drive without a license. I'll bet you $20 the electric bill is in your name. I had never wanted to throw dirt in anybody's face so badly in my life, but I spun around and headed to my trailer. After all, if I made him mad, maybe he would want to forget about finding Bob. I unlocked the door and let him in. He stood there for several moments looking. He half grinned and shook his head in obvious disbelief. Don't tell me. The foil is to block alien signals, right? No, I said. Bob doesn't believe in aliens. Well, he believes in them, but he's not afraid of them. He's not crazy, you know. It's to block government tracking devices. You don't say. Maybe I was exhausted, but I forgot all about not wanting to make him mad. The most important person in my life was missing, and this guy was standing there looking at my life like it was some sort of odd curiosity you'd see in a museum of the weird. Look, I blurted. You may think we're all crazy. My fat sister, my naked uncle, my husband who was traumatized as a child, and me who's, well, whatever I am, but we're people. And my husband's not a freak, and I'm not stupid. You may think I am because of the way we live, but when you love somebody, you put up with a whole lot of odd behaviors, and you'll do a lot of things that other people won't understand. When pretty boys like you were making fun of me and my family, of my sister, when they were calling us names, Bob was good to me, and he never pretended to be something he wasn't. He was older, and he has some odd hobbies, but he's my husband, and I love him. I was aware of the tears streaming down my face and of the fact that my heart was beating so hard that my chest hurt. My legs shook, and sweat ran down my back, but I couldn't stop myself. I sniffed a couple of times and looked straight at Daniel Ransom, who hung his head like a kid in trouble. There's such a thing as loyalty, I told him. Maybe you don't know anything about that, but it matters to me. He stood there staring at the floor, and I realized that maybe I'd been too hard, that he did know something about loyalty, that he visited his invalid wife and that he read to her, and even though her mind was mostly gone, and she didn't understand a word of what he said. I'm sorry, he said. I was not understanding about how you might be feeling right now. He took off his hat and looked at me with a sympathetic expression. But you have to understand how this looks, Mrs. McQuaid. Your husband is involved in some sort of conspiracy group, and he comes up missing. It looks like he wanted to disappear. And with all of those stolen weapons out there, no wonder he appears to be a paranoid delusional. You mean crazy, I said. I suppose you have a degree in psychology now, too. No, I didn't mean it that way. But I've seen all kinds of people, and well, this takes the cake. He flinched, no pun intended. So you have to understand that's the reason for my skepticism. Well, I said, your dumb old records check on me is going to come back clean because I've never had a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. I've been married to Bob since I was 16, and I've lived in this trailer that whole time, and I've worked at the marina, and I've never done anything else. And every night for 18 years, Bob has been home at exactly 5:30, and he's never gone anywhere without telling me, but he does go places. Yes, he goes to his militia trainings. Well, where's that at? I shrugged. About 50 miles south of here. I don't know the exact place. He goes with Morgan. Morgan comes and gets him about once a month, and they stay a couple of days at the training camp. That's what Bob calls it, the training camp. Do you know where Morgan lives? Not exactly, but kind of. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Well, I know where to find Morgan, but I don't know exactly where his house is. Then maybe I should go meet Morgan. He won't talk to you, I said. Not even to find his friend? I shook my head. Why not? He won't trust you. I'll go as a civilian. Don't matter. He doesn't know you. He won't trust you. And also, it's the way you are. Well, what do you mean by that? He asked. There's something about you. I shrugged. There was no way to say it but the truth. You're too much a product of modern society. You talk too good and you're too clean cut. He's apt to spit on you the minute he sees you, if his dogs don't eat you first. Will he talk to you? Maybe. I'm willing to risk it to find out. I started out the door. Then I had the sensation of falling, but I never hit the ground. Daniel caught me. You need to rest first, he said. Want me to help you to the couch? I looked over to the couch. A stack of VHS tapes lay on the coffee table, all of Bob's favorites. I can't stay here. Well, then I'll take you over to your sister's place. Not there either, I said. I can't let them see me like this. Cookie can't handle the stress. You worry a lot about Cookie, he said. I'll go up to Uncle Fawcett's cabin and rest. Your uncle hasn't been home in a long time. There probably isn't a bite in that house to eat. And even if there is, it's probably not fit to eat. I have a better idea. What? He smiled. I'm the proud new owner of a boat. I'm not spending the night with you on any boat, I said. He laughed. No, of course not. I meant that you could rest there. I'll drive you over there, and then I'll call someone to come pick me up. Okay, I said. I remember getting in my truck and that Daniel Ransom was driving, but I didn't remember another thing that happened that day.